Okay, let's go into the word. Let's have been prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that is so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that there is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught, the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with precision, and there is no confusion as the truth of God's word is taught this evening. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word. There is no contradiction in this atmosphere. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word for what it is, and at the end of the day's meeting, as saints we are edified, and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Look at Titus chapter 1. Are we there? Look at Titus chapter 1. Let's start in Titus this evening. Let's pay attention to a few things here and there. Now look at Paul in verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope, look at verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So look at that again, look at verse 2. Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Now, so take note of very important things in verse 2. He says, in hope of eternal life. So eternal life is a consideration. By who? Look at which God. So by God, right? So in hope of eternal life. So God is the actor, right? In hope of eternal life, God is present, that cannot lie. So Paul makes you see that God cannot lie. Are we together? So, the God who cannot lie, in hope of eternal life, promised before the world began, right? So before the world began, really, we'll just speak about the beginning, right? So in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie? So God cannot lie, right? So God who cannot lie promised something at the beginning, right? Look at that again. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So before the world began, there was a promise, yeah? And the reason why we know there was a promise is actually seen in the fact that let me say it better. So we see that there is a promise of a God who cannot lie at the beginning. What is the promise about? It says in hope of eternal life. Are we together? So in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due time manifested his word through what? Preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of our God and Savior. So to Titus, my own son after the common faith, right? It's not saying our faith is a common, so really, common faith, we just mean something that is unique, or when we say lowest common multiple, something that is found in both parties, so to say, not as cheap, right? So to Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, who cannot lie. Did you see that? Right? So from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Are we together? So he begins to tell you a conversation about, the truth in verse 1, apparently the truth which is after godliness in hope of life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So it means that from the beginning, God has been a God of promise. Are we together? God has been a God of promise. So it means that there was a promise that was to be fulfilled and it will be in regards to eternal life. Look at that again. Verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. So God who cannot lie has promised a life from the beginning. Are we together? So that when you see the life that has been promised from beginning, it is something that has been there. So it means that life is not an afterthought of God. From the very beginning, God has made a plan, or God has made a promise about life to be supplied. Are we together? Look at James 1. James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Now, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. So it means that a man can be tempted and say he or she is tempted of God. Yeah, but James lets you see, let no man say that he is tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. Right? God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, he bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Death. It now says in verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. Yeah, do not err, do not go into error, yeah, in your thinking, in your thoughts, in your saying. Yeah, every perfect gift is from above, right? And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Are we together? Yes. Look at that again. We and come down for the Father of light, yeah, the God who promised eternal life from the beginning. Yeah. Did you see that? That has a mix of Titus 1 into James. Of his own will, rather, begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to rot. For the wrath of man walketh not the righteousness of God. Now, James lets you see something very important. And he says that now, man can actually go through temptation, either in Christ or outside of Christ. But the truth about it is that no matter the man, in or outside of Christ, really, when he is tempted, don't say you are tempted of God. Are we together? For God cannot be tempted with evil. So God does not succumb to the pressure of evil that man supplies to him. Yes, so God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted any man. So mankind can actually find him or herself in the mix of temptation. But there is within that mix, there is a certain fact that must actually dawn on the consciousness of the believer. Yeah, and that is that God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted any man. So think about this way. It means that if Titus tells you, or Paul tells you in Titus, that in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So God's promise from time has been the promise of life. So it will mean that life will be supplied in various forms in the real sense, or life will be supplied from God to man, and man will actually have to receive that life that God supplies. Yeah, I'll say that again. So God's promise from time, let me say it this way, God who cannot lie has had a promise from time, and the promise is about the supply of eternal life. Yeah, man will have to receive that supply of eternal life. Yeah, so if man supplies eternal life to man, it will mean that man would have a choice to either receive or reject it. But in the real sense now, when man now finds himself in a mix with life and any other thing, yeah, and he wants to call it temptation, what should settle or should resolve in his mind is the fact that God cannot be tempted with evil. So if Paul tells you or James tells you that God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted any man, it means that will be God's character, yeah, from beginning of time. Yeah, remember, look at Hebrews 13. Let's just have a little gist this evening, okay? Hebrews 13:5. Let's just gist around a few things this evening and see where we'll end up with. Yeah. So Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversations be without covetousness, right? And be content with such thing as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Yeah. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do to me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow concerning the end of their conversation. Right. It says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Yeah. So do not be carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Right. So Jesus Christ, really, we're going to verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Jesus Christ is God. Okay, hold your hands in Hebrews and go to John 14. Look at John 14, right? John 14, John chapter 14, John chapter 14, John chapter 14, yeah, John chapter 14, verse, let me show you something, verse 6. Look at verse 5, or look at verse 5, yeah? So Thomas said unto Jesus, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Look at verse 1, look at John 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. So it is the conversation of I go to prepare a place for you that generated the question, Lord, in verse 5, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Are we together? Look at verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, so it is not a probability. So the going was actually a reality. So it's not a better, it will be when I go or since I go. So and verse 3 we now read, and when I go, I'll prepare a place for you. I'll come again and receive you unto myself. Now, for what fact? That where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said, we know not whether you go. Yes, he just now said, I am the way, verse 6. Yeah, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In that sense, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. You see, when you see Jesus talk, listen to him. Pay attention to Jesus. He's our master. He's our savior. Right? When Jesus talks, listen to him. So if Jesus tells you, if you've known me, you should have known my Father, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Listen to him. It means that except you want to admit in your heart that Jesus doesn't know what he's saying sometimes when he talks. Yeah, so look at what Philip and further question now, you know, exposes our hearts to in verse 8. It says, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficed us. Then Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me? So Philip asks that Jesus should show them the Father. And what did Jesus say? Have I been so long time with you, and thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Altogether. So seeing Jesus is seeing the Father. Yeah, so Jesus is not the junior God, or Jesus is not the junior version of God that God sent to mankind to show that there is still goodness in him. No, Jesus is the totality. Jesus is the total revelation of the Father. Yeah, so if Jesus says, I'm the way, the reality, and life. Right? So Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Now remember Titus 1. Yeah, Paul tells Titus, in hope of what? Eternal life, which God that cannot lie promise. So in the real sense, God that cannot lie promise life. Jesus now tells you, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So what life did God promise? Is the life of his son, Jesus Christ. Did you see that? So Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the reality, and the life. Yeah, so Paul now tells Titus, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So what did God promise before the world began? Or what did God promise at the beginning? God promised life. God promised life. Okay, hold your hands in John 14. I go to John 1. Let's just have a little gist around a few things this evening. So John chapter 1 verse 1. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Are we together? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now we did a little study around verse 1 of John 1 during the last Bible seminar, trying to pay attention to how the word was used in that verse. And really, the next line actually explains it. Right? So, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word points to God, really, and the Word was God, or the Word is God. Are we together? So that Word, which was in the beginning, yes, is actually points to God, and that Word is actually about God, or is actually God. Yeah, so think about it this way. In the beginning, or in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Yes, so in the beginning was the Word. So what will you find in the beginning of Titus 1 verse 2? You will actually find the Word. Yeah, what is the Word? The Word is actually God. Are we together? So the Word points to God, and the Word is God. Now the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now where we are going to is verse 4 in John 1. Now, so remember John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now look at what now says in verse 4, in him was life. Right, look at it. He was saying the Word, 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 the Word. He now comes to verse 3, and now says, oh, by him. Without him, okay, so it means that the Word will actually not deal with an inanimate activity or an inanimate concept, but actually a concept that has life. Yeah, okay, so look at it again. He now says, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Now, he now says, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life. In him, so can you see, John lets you see that in that beginning, there is actually life supplied. So in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, what did Paul tell Titus that God promised before the beginning, or at the beginning? Yeah, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So when he now tells you in him was life, that life is actually found in Christ. So Christ, the life in Christ is actually the life in Christ is actually what God promised from the beginning of time to supply to man. Are we together? Yeah. So Jesus now tells you, oh, I am actually that life in Christ. I'm actually the life. I'm actually the way. I'm actually the reality. Right. So the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So if the Word was God, it means that the life was actually the life that God was supplying, or life that God will offer is the life of God himself. Do you see that? Okay. Hold on. Let's take it a step back. Let me reduce my pace. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Are we together? In him was life, and the life, verse 4, was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Are we together? Now see something in verse 14. And that word from verse 1, now in the beginning was the word, you see, word, three times in verse 1. In the beginning was the word 1, and the word was with God, the same word 2, and the word was God 3. Look at verse 14, and that word was made flesh. Are we together? And dwelt amongst us. He now tells you in bracket, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. That is the reality. Are we together? So Jesus, so when you now say the word was made flesh, you now see in the incarnation, so to say, by the resurrection and all of that. Yes, yeah, so in the real sense, we now see that the word put on flesh. Are we together? The word existed as flesh, right, and dwelt amongst man, so man could see, man could relate. Yeah, so the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst men. Now, in him was life in verse 4. Yeah, verse 5, the light shineth in darkness. So it means that what God has wanted or what God promised at the beginning was what? Eternal life. Remember Titus 1. Yeah, that eternal life is his eternal word, right? That eternal word is actually himself. Right? So in him was life, and that life actually, which is himself, is actually the light that shineth in darkness. So go to Genesis 1. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 now tells you in the beginning. Yeah. So when you see in the beginning, look at it. We've read three places that had in the beginning. Right? Number one, Titus 1. In hope of eternal life, yeah, which God that cannot lie, right, promise before the world began. So when you see promise before the world began, according to Paul to Titus, he is coming straight to where you have your Genesis. Yeah, where you see the beginning of the writings, or where you see the things, or the beginning of existence, so to say. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Yeah, so in the real sense, what did Paul tell Titus about that beginning? Yet there is the, in hope of eternal life, God promised eternal life. Or God who cannot lie, promised eternal life. In the real sense. So when you now see in the beginning God created heaven and earth, it has to be in view with the promise, which is eternal life, that Paul tells Titus that God promised, and God cannot lie. So how do we know actually it's about life? No, remember, John 1 now tells you, oh, in him was the life, and in him was life, and life was the light of men, right? And light shineth in darkness. He now tells you in Genesis 1, Moses now tells you, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Okay, so if darkness was upon the face of the deep, John tells you, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So it means that there is a light that is to, now, for there to be a light of men, it means that the light to man will actually be a light that quenches darkness. Are we together? So if you now go to Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water, and God said, let there be light. Now, John 1, 5 now tells you, and the light shineth out of darkness, and darkness could not comprehend it. What is that light in verse 4? It is the light of men. Okay, hold your hands in Genesis and go to 2 Corinthians. Yeah, you have many fingers, so you can actually open the Bible to different portions of the scripture, of different portions at the same time. So go to 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 4, I meant to say 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. So look at this way. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Right? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light... So Paul now talks about light again. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Okay. So God promised life according to Paul to Titus. What did Paul call that light again in 2 Corinthians 4? In whom the God of this world had blinded their hearts. Yeah. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. So it means that the life that Christ or God promised from the beginning is the life of Christ. Did you see what I did there? So, really, we're just trying to recap what we've taught, right? So, when you look at Titus chapter 1, verse 2, right? In hope of eternal life, yeah? So, if God, which God that cannot lie promise, so if God had a promise from time, and the promise is about life, it will mean that life will be the message. Are we together? So when you see in whom the gods of this world, the God of this world, have blinded the minds of them which believe not, yes, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image? So he now tells you Christ is the image of God, should shine unto them. John 1, 4, 5, 4 tells you in him was life, and life was the light of men. Altogether. So what will be that light that will lighten up man? It will be the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, according to Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. So that Christ, he now tells you, is the image of God, and that light should shine unto man. So when light, so in him was light, that life is light to man. So when man receives light, he has received life. Okay, why do I feel like I need to go to, go to John 8. We're in 2 Corinthians, we're in Genesis, right? By extension of Titus. Look at John 8. Look at John 8. John 8. John 8. John 8. John 8. John 8. Look at John 8. Let me show you something quickly in John 8. Look at John 8, 12. Look at John 8, 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. What will John 1 tell you? In him was light, and the light is actually the light that lightens of men. Altogether, so I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have what? The light of life. What did John 1 tell you? In him was life, the life is the light of man, or the light is the light of men. Now, what did Jesus tell you? I am the light of the world, right? He that followeth me shall have the light of life. Are we together? So there's such a thing as light of life that is received upon the resurrection, or that is received when you believe. So go back to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4. So when it now tells you, in whom the God of this world has blinded their hearts, yeah, or the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Can we call it the light of life? Yeah, can we call it the light of life? So, if it is the light of life, and we said in him was life, and the life was a light to man, or the light of man, it means that if the promise to God was life to man, it would mean that the promise to God is actually light to man. Don't get it twisted, okay? Yeah, love is a beautiful thing. Yeah, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel. Now, so the light of the glorious gospel is the light of life that Jesus says he who receives him or follows him receives. Are we together? So what did Paul now call the light of life in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4? The light of life will be the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Are we together? So, look at what it says in verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus Christ. Now, look at verse 6. He now tells you, for God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. So, if God commanded light to shine out of darkness, Jesus tells you in the light is actually the light of life. John now tells you that in him was life. The life is actually the light of the world. So, if God commanded light to shine out of darkness, had shone in our hearts to give the light. So, he now calls light in verse 6. He says, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus, or in the person of Jesus. Are we together? So, we see light as the light of the glorious gospel. He now says, light of the knowledge of the glory of God. So, the knowledge of the glory of God will actually deal with the gospel of Christ. Yeah, that's why it tells you in the face, yeah, of Jesus Christ. So, it means that a man who receives the gospel, yeah, receives the light of life, yeah, which is actually has received God, has light. So, when Jesus now says, I am the way, the truth, the life, you can also say, I am the way, the truth, the light. Or you can say, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. And in that life is the light of men. I just mixed a lot of these scriptures together. So the light of men, or the light that quenches darkness and mist men, is just actually the light of life. So the light of life quenches darkness and supplies life. Amen, amen, amen. Yeah, so the light of God supplies. So if God who cannot lie promised light, it means that God who cannot lie at the beginning promised light. So when you go back to Genesis chapter 1, and you see, and God said, let there be light. Yeah, Paul now tells you, oh, for God who commanded light to shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts. Yeah, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge. Are we together? So when God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light that it was good. And God divided light from darkness. And God called light day and darkness. He called night and evening, morning, first day, and all of those things. You know, we've paid attention to that. And see what Jesus says about Moses. Go back to John. Look at John 5. Look at John 5. So, okay, hold on. Before you go to John 5, let's clear something in Genesis 1, right? So, and let there be light. Can that be let there be the light of life? Yeah, yeah. Are we together? Yeah, let there be the light of life. Are we together? And there was light. So if the light of life was what you is what, okay. Go to John 5:45. Let's just see 46, 47. John chapter 5, verse 46. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Right? So if Jesus now tells you that I am the way, the truth, and the life, it means that life, primarily to Moses, will actually point to Jesus. Are we together? Right? Look at it this way. Look at John 5 again. For had he believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Right? But if you believe not his writings, that includes Genesis, right? Genesis, and that includes Genesis chapter 1 in your Bible. Yeah. So if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So it means that when you hear Jesus says, I am the light of life, or I'm the light of this world, or I am the way, the truth, and the life, it means that you will need to believe that by believing the writings of Moses. Look at it again. Verse 47. If you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So if Jesus says, I am the light of life, if Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, it means that the light supplied in Genesis 1 has to point to Jesus. Because Jesus says, if you believe Moses, you believe me, for he wrote of me. Are we together? So go back to Genesis 1. So God said, let there be light. Yeah, so can you see God said, let there be light? It's actually the promise that Paul tells Titus in Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, yeah. Can we say in hope of eternal light, yeah, which God that cannot lie promised, yeah, let there be light. Yeah, can you see that? So in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised at the beginning or before the world began. Yeah, so can you see life is what you see at the beginning? Yeah, so what you see at the beginning really is the supply of light. So if that light is a supply of light of life to men, it will mean that the darkness will be amongst men. Are we together? So when it says the earth was without form and void, yeah, in the real sense, you should point your attention to something very interesting about men. Yeah, so, okay, what you can do is go to Mark chapter 4. Let me show you something quickly in Mark 4. Are we together? Yeah, look at Mark 4. Look at Mark 4:3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Okay. Jesus says, if you believe me, you shall believe, or if you believe me, or if you believe not the writings of Moses, how will you believe my words? Yeah, if you believe me, believe Moses, for he wrote of me. So if Jesus now starts a parable and says, there went out a sower to sow, yeah, it means that you should know that Jesus is teaching from the writings of Moses, by extension, the prophet. So it means that when he says, there went out a sower to sow, your mind should go to the beginning of where the sower starts, or what actually will be the sower sowing. So in case you are not sure, he continues that narrative and he said unto them in verse 9, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they went about him unto 12 and asked about a parable. He now says unto you, it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Now the word there, mystery, mysterion, that which awaits explanation, right? But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest any time they should be converted. Now look at verse 13, Mark 4:13. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How shall you know all parables? So what is Jesus telling them? This parable is chief amongst many parables. Yeah, so where do you suppose he will be teaching chief amongst many? So it means that you need to understand this parable to understand other parables. So this is the parable that unlocks other parables. Look at that again. He said, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable, and how then shall ye know all parables? Look at it. He says, the sower soweth the word. Look at verse 3 again. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. What does the sower sow? The sower ideally sows seed, right? So what does the sower actually sow in verse 14? The sower actually sows the word. Are we together? So the seed that the sower sows in this parable, which is chief parable to understand all other parables, the sower here actually sows the word. Yeah. So the parable of the sower sowing the word is actually a chief parable that unlocks other parables. Are we together? So the sower soweth the word. 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 Are we here? I'll say that again. The sower, so look at it again. It says, if you know not this parable, how then shall you know all parables? Look at verse 13 again. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How shall ye know other parables? So it means that this parable is a chief parable amongst many other parables. So what does a sower sow generally or originally? A sower actually sows seed. Now, what is the seed that Jesus makes you see that this sower sows in this parable? It is the seed of the word. Okay, look at Luke 8:11. Look at Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Luke 8:11. Luke 8:11. Right? Same parable. Look at Luke 8:11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. 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 So the seed that this sower sows is the word of God. Now, the word in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. Yeah, so God actually sows himself as the word, as the seed. So you need to know that the chief sower of the word is actually God himself. Altogether. So what have we established to be the word? The word that existed in the beginning is life. In him is life, right? And life is the light of men. Now that life also has light. So can we say that the chief sower actually sows light? Altogether. So the chief sower actually sows light. So the seed is the word of God, right? And that word of God is actually the light that is supplied. So when you see the promise made at the beginning, which is actually God said, let there be light. So it means that God's message from time has been the message of light, which you now see as the seed the sower sows, which is the word in Mark 4 and Luke 8. Are we together? So Paul makes you say in Titus letter that you see, when it comes to God, God cannot lie. When you say God doesn't lie, God cannot lie. James now lets you see there is no variableness with God, neither is there any shadow of turning. My dear brethren, do not err. Yeah, so we need to be slow to speak, right? Swift to hear and slow to run. So, in the real sense, I took us all through this journey to see the consistency of God's light as being the promise from time. So, if God cannot lie and God promised light from time, which is life from time, it means that for every time in time, God's promise will always be to supply light, which is actually to supply light. Did you see that? Did you see that? For every point of time in time, yeah, God's promise has always been. See, look at Malachi 3:6, right? For I am the Lord, I cannot change, or I changeth not. I am the Lord, I changeth not. I am the Lord, I changeth not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not what? Consumed. Are we together? So we're trying to pay attention to a few of these narratives in scriptures to actually point our attention to how biblical terms are used. So now, I took us through titles and all of that to just see an example of God's promise, yeah? Or how different writers now explain the same promise. You know, Mark will tell you the seed of the word, you know, titles will tell you eternal life. John will tell you in him was life, life, light of men. You know, Jesus will tell you I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You know, the same thing altogether. Now go to 2 Timothy 3:15. So, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Okay. So from a child, that means when you began as a saint, right, thou hast known the holy scriptures. Now, holy scriptures will be what? Where the promise of God is stated. Right? And it says they're able to make thee wise unto what? Salvation. Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, right? So can you see from these that actually salvation through Christ Jesus, or through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, has been God's promise from time. You know, we saw it today, right? So salvation is light. Yes, salvation is the word. Yes, salvation is life. So in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, will actually mean the what God's promise before the world began is to supply light to darkness, which you see as God said, let there be light. right? And there was what? Light. So all scriptures are given by inspiration of God, and they are profitable, advantageous for doctrine. He says, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So in the real sense, it means that as saints, we need to pay deliberate attention to the writings of the Holy Scriptures, what you call the Holy Greek, right? What you call the set apart writings that are used to communicate the truth about salvation. So it means that for every time or every point in time between Genesis to Malachi, what you should see is how God plans to save man, or you should see how God plans to save man knitted around the stories written in the Bible. Are we together? So God plans to save man through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Or God plans to save man through faith, or through when man supply or applies faith to that person of Jesus Christ, or to believe the work of Jesus Christ. Are we together? So he says scriptures are given by inspiration of God, and they are advantageous for teaching. So when we want to teach doctrine, we teach from scriptures. For reproof, the word there, reproof, speaks about an evidence, an assurance. For correction, for training in righteousness. So we actually use scriptures for training, for supply of information regarding salvation, regarding the word, regarding the light. Are we together? So go back to Genesis 6. Let's jump straight to Genesis 6. We've been looking at Noah for a while. And look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. God is light. Jesus says, I am the light of this world, and he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, for I am the light of life, for he hath the light of life. So look at Noah. Yeah, look at Moses' way of writing Noah's story about what Noah found. What did Noah find? Look at John and Genesis 6, verse 8. He says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Now, we've paid attention to this verse over and over in the last few weeks, but I'll do justice to it again quickly. Now, Noah, the man, he found something. Now, for Noah to have found grace in the eyes of God, if you look at that verse literally, you will literally be confused. Yeah, because the same Bible will now tell you, oh, no man has seen God at any time except the begotten of the Father. So how did Noah see God before he was able to even see the eyes of the Lord, or see the eyes of God, then now find something? Yeah, so we try to explain that the word eyes there, ayin in Hebrew, speaks about, you know, we try to see how it was used for knowledge, for understanding, like by Moses in the verses before chapter 6. So Noah found grace in his understanding of the Lord, right? So we're able to explain the word found. Yeah, it means to discover. So he found out who God was. So Noah discovered who God was. So if God is actually, if Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, it will mean that Noah found the real deal that is found in God. So in the understand, so can you see that in the real sense, grace will actually be what, how do I say this without going to First Peter? Okay, so grace will actually be that which is found in the eyes, or that which Noah found in his understanding about God, right? So Noah discovered something about God and preached that. We started a few conversations that were very interesting on Sunday. We're trying to pay attention to how Hebrews now writes the narrative of what Noah, who Noah is, and Noah, a man of faith, and everything. Now, we went to 2 Peter to explain that Noah, Peter makes you see that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So if Noah was a preacher of righteousness and he found grace, it means that the grace Noah found is actually God's righteousness. So Noah preached God's righteousness, right? You see, don't read your nursery school mind or your Sunday school mind into these scriptures when we read them. I was together. We went ahead to explain how we went to preach and they were disobedient and all of that and everything. So having Peter, how Peter also mentioned that Jesus suffered, you know, for the 3 days and 3 nights and all of that. And it was Noah that preached in First Peter. Yeah, you might want to lay your hands on previous teachings to make that or to get clarity regarding that, right? So in the real sense, we're trying to wrap our heads around what did Noah really find and really understand what Noah really found. And we're able to pay attention to Hebrews. So run with me quickly to Hebrews. Look at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Go back to Hebrews 11. Look at Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now the evidence of things not seen. Now this is not a universal verse that is used to have faith for things. Are we together? You see, the Bible wasn't written to you, unfortunately. Sorry. Yeah, the Bible wasn't written to me, unfortunately. Sorry. Yeah, the Bible wasn't written to me. The Bible was written to a people in mind, and we needed to sit where they sat to see what they saw. We explained on Sunday that faith is substance of things hoped for. Doesn't mean that, hey, today, if you want to have car tomorrow, have faith. That faith you have today is the currency, and that currency you have today is the substance that you're actually hoping for, evidence of things. All those things are plenty grammar. Never read Hebrews 11:1 without reading Hebrews 11:2. For by it, what is the by it? The substance, the faith. Yeah, the elders obtained the good report. Right, so faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Go to verse 37. Go to verse 39, rather. 39. He now says, and all this. So if you read Hebrews 11 very well, what we call the hall of faith. Yeah, you see lots of people and their works in display of their faith. Yeah, Noah, Abraham, Rahab, and all of that. Yeah, but after writing all their names, including Noah, including Enoch, he now goes to verse 39 and says, and all this, having obtained a good report through faith, remember, for by it the elders obtained a good report in verse 2. Right, so having, yes, we know they obtained a good report through faith, right, received not the promise. Yeah, so God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made what? Perfect. Are we together? So they received faith. Yeah, they received faith. They are through faith. They actually obtained a good result. Hebrews tells you received not the promise. Now, so go back to Hebrews 11:11. Look at that same 11:7. Let's pay attention to what the writer of Hebrews makes you say about Noah. So by faith, being warned of God. We looked at the word warned on Sunday and we said it's a word that speaks about to show or to reveal. Right? So by faith, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So let me ask you a question, right? We were paying attention to this on Sunday, right? For a man to be declared as a righteous man, we know we started examining Noah through Abraham's teaching, or through Paul's teaching on Abraham, right? Okay. For a man to be righteous in God's eyes, what does he need to believe? The message of the glorious gospel of Christ, or the message of a physical destruction? Think about it this way, right? What gives you, what made you righteous today? Believing that there's a flood tomorrow and you will be saved from it, or believing that Jesus has been, you know, brought back to life from the dead and he has offered eternal life to man. It's actually about the offering of eternal life to man. So what makes a man righteous is faith in the work, or in the resurrection, so to say. Right? Faith in the resurrection. So can you see? So think about Noah. Noah's ark was able to save man before the resurrection. Yeah, so it means that we didn't need to see the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ before man could be saved through Noah's ark. Are we together? Now, did Noah eventually die? Yes. So what did God really reveal to Noah that made Noah a man of faith as seen, which became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith in verse 7? Yeah, will it be flood or Christ? Or will it be flood? Will it be Christ? Will it be flood? Will it be flood and Christ? Will it be flood minus Christ? Will it be Christ minus flood? Yeah, just hold on, right? Now, is Noah dead? Yes. What did Noah need to believe to become a man of righteousness, or to have righteousness, or to have righteousness imputed unto him? Believe the resurrection. So it means that the end product of any other thing you will see will still actually be in what Christ will do. Are we together? So, Moses wrote about the flood of Noah. Now, we paid attention to something. The sin of man and the destruction of man, right, or physical destruction of the earth, or let me say it better, the repercussion of the sin of man did not happen suddenly. Let me say it better, like I said it before. The physical effect or the physical repercussion of what man sinned, or the physical repercussion of man's sin did not happen instantly. It happened over the years. Yeah, so it means that the physical manifestation will be a gradual thing that will be seen across the earth. Yeah, it will not be a one-off thing. Are we together? Right? So it means that Moses will write about Noah's flood and in... Okay, so let me help you see something. Should we go back to Genesis 3? Yes, let's go back to Genesis 3. Look at Genesis 3. Whew. Genesis 2. Genesis chapter 2, chapter 2. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. Listen to this carefully. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, right? And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And the tree of life also in the midst of the garden. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the midst of the garden. Now, remember we paid attention to it, yeah? There was no literal tree called tree of life. Yeah, in fact, Moses writing about the tree of life is actually writing again the same promise that Paul told Titus in hope of eternal life, which God promised before the world began, right? Which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, right? So there was a garden, there was a tree. Now go to Genesis 3. There was a garden, there were two trees in the garden. We have come to understand that the garden there is not a literal concept, right? The garden there is not or the garden with the tree of life is not a literal concept. Now look at verse chapter 3, look at chapter 3, verse, the last few verses there. Look at verse 22. And the Lord said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil, and now let he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord sent him forth from the garden of Eden. Right? So the Lord sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. And so he drove out the man. Now we're trying to establish that God did not drive out Adam, or God only drove out Adam to the degree in which you understand that actually Adam is the person that rejected God's offering, which is the offer of the tree of life in the Garden of Eden, figurative, right? So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now go to Genesis 4. Look at Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, look at verse, look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 11. Now art thou cursed from the earth, which had opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto her strength. A fugitive, a vagabond, and king said unto the Lord, my punishment is great. Behold, thou hast, look at verse 14 carefully. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. Hello. Face of the earth will actually, Moses makes you see that God drove Adam from the Garden of Eden and drove Cain from the face of the earth. But if God drove Cain from the face of the earth, where did Cain now go to? Mars? Are we together? Where did Cain now go to? Mars? Or is it Jupiter or Venus? No. Yeah, they're just figurative ways of writing things. In the real sense, what does God drove Cain out of the face of the earth mean? Verse 16 explains, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Are we together? Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Yeah, and dwelt in the land of Nod. See, Nod is actually on earth. Are we together? So when you say he drove him out of the face of the earth, the way he went to was the land of Nod and the east of Eden. You understand that concept? Right? So I took us through that to see something in Hebrews. Right? So when you see the concept of Moses' writing, right? Moses will write, so when you see Moses tells you that Cain was driven out of the face of the earth, and the same Moses tells you that the earth was destroyed by flood, if in the real sense, Cain's driving out of the earth, driving out from the face of the earth was not a total absconding or a total sending away from the earth as the universe, it means that you need to look carefully into Noah's flood. Could Noah's flood have destroyed the entire world altogether? So it means that Moses can actually tell you that the flood destroyed the earth, and it will not actually mean the earth. Remember, I said something. The consequence of man's sin will be sin. So man will understand death by experience, right? So Moses will use, remember, Moses wasn't writing to you. Moses will use stories that were known, right, to write about realities or things that he would want to communicate as God's truth. So Moses will use local stories known to the Israelites to teach about the universal consequence of sin, or what you call the judgment of God, right? So we explained that the flood, so people that were destroyed by the flood, right, where you see that they experienced God's judgment. In the real sense, God is a just God, and God is a God of judgment. Yeah, what was God's judgment? You see God's judgment as sin in destruction to the degree in which you see they rejected the offering of salvation. I will look at Ezekiel. Let me show you something, Ezekiel. Ezekiel 33, Ezekiel 33, 11. Look at Ezekiel 33, 11. Say unto them, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his way and what? Live. Are we together? I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So, if there was, okay, look at it though. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but I want the wicked to turn from his way to live. Now go to Genesis 6. Genesis 6. Genesis 6. Are you in Genesis 6? Look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth. What does Ezekiel tell you about when God sees wickedness? I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his way and live. So when you see God saw that the wickedness of man was, you see, the Bible is not a contradictory book. Yeah, the Bible explains the Bible. Praise God. Right? So there was wickedness on the earth. When God sees wickedness, God wants man to turn from his wicked ways and live. Are we together? So, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Right? And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. We've explained that to mean for God to repent about what he made. It means that God is not Alpha and Omega. God is not Alpha, Omega, and everything that exists in between. That means God doesn't know the end from the beginning. That means what man did shocked God. You know, it doesn't make any sense. Right? So when God sees wickedness, God wants man to actually turn their hearts to what receive life, so they shall live. Are we together? So it means that the flood is not God. So God did not send the flood on earth to destroy man. We've tried to explain that over time. Right? Now remember, God did not send the earth, or God did not send the flood to the earth for man to be destroyed, because except Ezekiel 33 and Ezekiel 18, they are not correct. Because Ezekiel 33 tells you, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Now, so if it is as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, it doesn't mean that it's from that time going forward, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Because Malachi 3 now tells you, I am the Lord that changeth not. So it means that for at every point time in time, did you get what I just said? At every point time in time, yeah, God is always the same. So as I live at any point time in time, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So will there be wickedness on the earth? Where will wickedness be found? It will be expressed from the evil that comes out or proceeds from the heart of men continually. That's what you see in Genesis 6:5. Altogether. So when you now see that, so God is not a bipolar God. So when you now see that Noah, in the real sense, but you now see that Noah in the real sense was a man of faith. Yeah, faith in what? When you now see that the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, what did the long suffering of God wait for? Did he wait for Noah to change, or for the people to change their mind, or he waited for destruction to come? Or he waited to a point and now brought the destruction upon man, so to say. Altogether. Look at Hebrews 2. Are you in Hebrews 2? Look at Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. What with the same? Flesh and blood. That through death he might what? Now, God promised life from time. To deal with death, God died. Yeah? So look at that again. He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. Who are the power of death? That is the devil. That's verse 14. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to what? Bondage. Devil had the power of death. The victory of Jesus over Satan is by dealing with death, by dying. So, death has no sting on us again. Why? Because God has gotten the victory through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So now, if we see that death is the last enemy of God, according to 1 Corinthians 15, it means that actually it is consistent with Ezekiel 33 that says God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Are we together? If you look through scriptures, right, and you see the story of Cain, for instance, Cain and Abel, right? You see Cain was a wicked one and all of that. But when you now see Hebrews write about Abel, he now tells you that Abel by faith. Abel by faith. So all the men you see in Hebrews, right, by faith, they actually obtained good reports. By faith, they obtained good reports. Look at 2 Peter 3, verse 15. So, before you get to verse 15, you must have read verse 9. Look at 2 Peter 3, verse 9. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slack. What is his promise? Titus 1 tells you, in hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised before the world began. So God's promise has actually been the same. So when, okay, go to second, hold on in 2 Peter, go to 2 Corinthians. Let's read 2 Corinthians 1 quickly. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. Now, or for all the promises of God in him, yes, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began, right? And so all the promises, so the promise of God in him, yea and amen, yea, fulfilled, done unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ Jesus and hath anointed us is God, who had also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So can you see? Let there be light. Yeah, it's what you now see in Genesis 1. So the Spirit of God hovered over the face, right? Let there be God's Spirit. Yeah, so the Spirit's solution to darkness. Spirit solution to death. Yeah, Spirit solution to solution as light. So now we have received the seal of the Holy Spirit, which actually you now see as a fulfillment of the promise which God promised, which God who cannot lie promised at the beginning of time. Right. So I took you here to see all the promises of God in him, that's in Christ Jesus, they are yes and they are amen. That means they are fulfilled, they are done. Are we together? So go back to 2 Peter. So 2 Peter 9, the Lord is not slack concerning what? His promise. Right? What promise? The same promise, right? As some men count slackness, but in long is long suffering to us, what? Not willing that any should what? Perish. Right? So from the beginning of time, yeah, God wants to supply light to man, which is life to man, so that none will perish. Right? So, but Adam, the first man, leaves a template and actually rejects that offering, and by extension, man follows suit, or man walks according to the course of the world. Yeah, so which Adam begun, really. So, and the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, right? But that promise is what you see as the promises of God in him. They are yes and amen. That means they are fulfilled, accomplished in him. As some men count slackness, right? But is long suffering to us what? Is long suffering to us what? Look at that again. He is long suffering to us what? Are we together? Not willing that any should perish. Now, is that not in collaboration or in the same line of thoughts with Ezekiel 33? As I live, says the Lord, I do not delight pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that every wicked should turn away from their evil and what live. Yeah. So God's long suffering to us words, not willing that any should what perish, but that all should come to what repentance. So now, what you call the judgment of God, which you call on the last day, yeah, so there will be the judgment of God, and man will reap what he sows, or man will reap for believing or not believing. In the real sense, yeah, all this while, it is God's long suffering to man, for man to receive or for man to believe and not be condemned. Look at John 3:16. So what it says there, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, yet should not perish, but have what? Life. That, so in him was the life of light, right? And whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That life is the light of men, right? In him, for all the promises of God are yes and amen in him. Right? So in believing in Jesus Christ, you've received the fullness of God's promise, that is eternal life. It now tells you we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Right? So look at verse 36. 36, it says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath what? Everlasting life. It means he has come into destiny, right? God's predestination. Yeah, we should take a series on predestination and foreknowledge in days to come. So he that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life, and he that believeth on the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So a man in God's judgment will receive life or destruction. Right? So, in the fact that a man receives life, God is just. In the fact that a man receives wrath, yeah, which is destruction or condemnation, God is just. Okay, look at Mark 16. Mark chapter 16. Yeah, so look at Mark 16. And he said unto them, never forget, Noah is not, Noah died. Yeah, so Noah died. Yeah, there was a time Noah died in the physical, right? Yeah, Noah's physical body is not alive today, right? So, and he said unto them, go into the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth is baptized and is saved. And he that believeth not shall be condemned. Are we together? So there is, now look at it. Think about, pick that narrative into Noah as a messenger towards the people, right? So anybody who believed Noah would be what? Saved by going into the ark. Anyone who doesn't believe Noah will be condemned, right? So did God condemn him? Yes and no. Yes, to the degree that you see that is God's condemnation is seen in the fact that he, or let me say this way, did Noah the messenger condemn the people who did not come into the ark? Yes and no. Yes, to the degree in which you understand that the condemnation that Noah gave to them is found in the fact that they rejected his offering of salvation, which is the ark. Yeah, so that the same way when we preach today and people don't believe, yeah, in the real sense, the weak or is there something called judgment? Yes, there is. Yes, there is. Glory to God. So it means that in the real sense, you must pay attention to the righteousness that Noah had, and in the real sense, pay attention to what and how righteousness is attained. So Abraham was righteous by faith. Faith in his son or Isaac or in God's son. It has to be faith in God's son. Noah was righteous by faith. Faith in the ark or faith in the resurrection. It has to be faith in the resurrection. Let me close here. Look at Romans 4. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, had found? What did Moses tell you that Noah found? Noah found grace. Right? What did Peter tell you Noah was a preacher of righteousness? Altogether. So for if Abraham were justified by works, yeah, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. Yeah, so if you feel like Abraham's faith or Abraham's justification, yes, was based on the fact that he so-called obeyed and went to the wilderness with Isaac, it means you need to check it very well. Yeah, Paul tells you, you actually have something to glory about, what a man of faith, but not before God. For what say the scriptures, Abraham what? Believed God, and it was counted unto him for what? Righteousness. Abraham believed God and was counted unto him for what? Righteousness. Now, what did Noah find? Noah found grace. What did Paul, Peter tell you that Noah preached? Noah was a preacher of God's righteousness. So what did Noah find? Noah found righteousness. What did Noah find? Noah found righteousness. How is a man righteous? A man is righteous solely by believing in the resurrection. Are we together? Yeah. So if Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness, what did Abraham believe God that was counted unto him for righteousness? Believing that his wife will give birth. Believing that he will be the fact, believing that what really? He actually believed in the resurrection. Are we together? It was counted unto him for righteousness. So Noah was a preacher of righteousness. The same thing Noah found was the same thing Abraham found. Yeah. So Abraham, look at it. So what did Abraham find? So if Paul tells you in Romans 4 verse 1, and what shall we say our father Abraham pertaining to the flesh had found? What did Abraham find? Abraham found God's righteousness. Right. So in Abraham's, so you can say that, but Abraham found grace or God's righteousness in the eyes of the Lord. So in the understanding of God, he saw God as a righteous God. Yeah. So if Abraham found righteousness, right, what did Abraham preach? Abraham was a preacher of God's righteousness. What did Noah find? Noah found, Noah, for anyone, yeah, Noah found really. Noah saw really. Noah discovered grace. What did he preach? He preached grace. What did Peter tell you he was? He was a preacher of righteousness. What did Abraham find? What was counted unto Abraham? Abraham was counted. It was counted unto him for what? Righteousness. Are we together? What did he believe God for? He believed God in the resurrection. He believed God or he believed the resurrection. Yes, so by faith. Yeah, Abraham believed God. Yeah, so Abraham believed God and he preached what he believed as a prophet. Yeah, so Abraham believed God. He preached what he believed, which is what? Righteousness. Now, what will righteousness really mean? Yeah, it will mean that according to Noah, it will mean that Abraham found grace. This is what I did. I just tried to interchange both of them, right? So grace in Noah, righteousness in Abraham. Same. Same. So therefore, chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into what? This grace. You see that? This grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shared abroad in our hearts by the what? Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for us. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his grace towards us, his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners. So God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners. So while man was, or when men, when you see men in sin, God supplies grace. What did Noah now find? Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Yeah, what did Noah find? Really, Noah found grace in his understanding of found grace to be that which God is totally, or that which God is in his knowledge. Or so in Noah's knowledge, he discovered that God is full of grace. Yeah, so he found God as a gracious God. So but God commended his love. What is his grace? His supply. This is his love. God commended his love towards us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ what died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. I said I was going to close in Romans, but I feel like closing in Hebrews. Go back to Hebrews. Hebrews 11. Let's just end in Hebrews 11. So, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So, when you see faith, so by faith, Noah being warned of God. Now, remember, things not seen. Is that not true? Evidence of things not seen. Things not seen. Things not seen. So, in the real sense, things not seen. Will it be flood or Christ? It has to be Christ. Are we together? Yeah, that's why he now tells you in verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently what? Seek him. Now, let me just recap this again. Please, take note of what I'm about to say. I've said it over and over again, and I want you to just take deliberate attention to this. Okay, so remember, Moses wrote about the consequences of man's sin. Now, the consequence of man's sin, now remember, to Adam, in the day in which you ate, thou shalt surely die. Yeah? So at that point, did Adam physically die? No. So Adam didn't physically die, but yet he died. Are we together? So remember, we thought that you understand death first as a concept of separation or being without. So man would actually understand that by an experience. Yeah. So it wasn't immediately that Adam died physically. So it means that the spiritual implication of that might have been instant, but the physical implication would be over years. So man would understand death by experience. So even though man died instantly spiritually, yeah, Adam still lived for 100 more years afterwards and gave birth to children. Are we together? Yeah, well, we say a man lives long. Look at Adam. Yeah, so it means that the effect of death, yeah, did not happen at once. Or the effect of death, yeah, even though man sinned once, the spiritual effect of death, or the physical effect rather, of death did not happen at once. So it means that the physical effect of sin will be gradual and be seen across time or over time. How together? That's why you see, it seems like as the days are getting more, as we're getting into new days, it seems like we're having newer forms of wickedness in the hearts of men. Yeah, really, it's just actually a repercussion. It's a physical effect, so it's gradual. Yeah, so it means that the physical flood of Noah could not have caused a sudden destruction to the entire universe. I would get that, because right from Adam, sin existed. Yeah, so it should not be that Adam's sin now came to a full close in Noah's time. No, actually, yeah. Moses wrote this narrative to teach us how the eventual repercussion of sin, spiritual death, will actually happen. Are we together? So Moses wrote the flood of Noah as an event to teach about the judgment of God. Are we together? I'll say it again. Moses wrote about Noah. So he will now talk about Noah preaching for 120 years and using that as a template for God's long suffering, God's persuasive voice, God's persuasive message to always save. All together, it's really a pleasure to bring God's word your way. I hope you've learned a few things here and there. You know, until I come your way, have a lovely night, rest. Cheers. I love you all.